Hello, and welcome back to Yod Options. This week I have Jim Shomo from the very good punk rock band Dark Thoughts. He also has a new band, a new hardcore band called Delco MFs. MFs stands for motherfuckers. We get into his musical background, growing up in Philadelphia, near Philadelphia. Check out Dark Thoughts, Punk Official. I believe that's their name. Yeah, Dark Thoughts, USA Punk Official. Sorry, that's their handle on Instagram. Check out Jim _ Shomo. We talk about the festival that Jim and Amy and Daniel, the members of Dark Thoughts, helped put together at the Photo Club in Philadelphia. It happened this past weekend after recording this. I'm sure it went great. Something to talk about. That's the name of the festival. Yeah, just go support them, listen to them on Bandcamp. Go buy a shirt from their Big Cartel page. Yeah. Go to thehandsomescoundrels.com. You can buy some merch from there. There's a Yod Options shirt there. Please go buy one. But yeah, thanks again. Hope you enjoy. Jim, thanks for joining me. It's been
sorry, I have to keep pushing back.
That's all good. Yeah, we're trying to get the optimal conditions, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, thanks for joining me. It's been a little bit since I put out an episode. I'd been in the process of moving, and God, moving's just the fucking worst, like adult chore.
Oh yeah, we're moving in 2 weeks. We're actually moving to the house next door to us.
Okay.
Which is going to be pretty funny. Yeah. It's like our friend owned the house next door to us. We just signed the lease today.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great, but it's like kind of funny because I'm in my office right now where we normally do all the Dark Thoughts mail order and stuff. And it's just like, I'm like looking at empty boxes just like everywhere. Just like, oh, this is going to be horrible. You know, like. We haven't done anything, so we probably won't until like the week before. So,
Shit! That's kind of how I operate. Like, with, like my girlfriend. I posted a picture of what our U-Haul looked like, and you could definitely tell like what I packed and what my girlfriend had packed because hers was like in neat boxes and all like orderly, and mine was kind of just like a trash heap of stuff I was just throwing in the U-Haul.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah, and next door, that's like just enough, like that's a lot of like rev up just to go next door, you know, having to.
Yeah, I feel like we're gonna need to make like a fire line or something, like get a couple people and then just like things through one door and into the other and then make it work. But yeah, it won't be so bad. It'd be cool.
So you guys are in Philadelphia?
Yeah. We live in West Philadelphia. And we've been living the house we're in now. We've been in a little over a year.
Yeah.
But we've kind of been bouncing around, and the place we're moving into next is going to kind of be like our like forever home, probably, or like a pretty permanent stable home. So
nice.
So excited about that. It's going to be cool.
Nice.
Be nice. But yeah, I've lived in West for off and on for like the last, what year is it?
22.
Like 12 years, yeah. I guess. I've like moved here and there, but mainly I've lived here since like 2009. So
did you grow up in Philadelphia or?
No, I grew up in Delaware County, which is like the next county over, probably about like 15 miles from where I live now. Yeah. My mom's apartment that she lives in now is like actually 10 miles from where I live, like door to door.
Okay.
So it's pretty close. So I grew up like coming to the city and going back and forth for like Phillies games and stuff. And then eventually as I got older, going to punk shows. And then I just kind of like when I like was able to move for like college stuff, I just stayed.
Yeah.
Which was kind of the plan anyway, as I would have, school or not, I would have just stayed. But so
is there another city, like whenever you guys are touring, is there another city that you've liked that you'd be like, I could live here?
Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about it. There was a couple of years ago, there was like a period where we almost moved to Pittsburgh, and we were talking about like a couple different plans. I like Austin a lot. But it's like all those places I feel like I like the version of it like 10 years ago, you know, where I'm like, oh yeah, I would love to live there like then. But like right now it's like, oh, it's changed so much that kind of like, we have a good thing going on here. We're pretty comfortable. And, we have a good handle on like what's going on, and it's really busy here. So like, we're always doing stuff. So we can't really see ourselves going anywhere else. It's kind of,
it sounds like y'all got a good thing going.
Yeah. Where are you based out of?
Now I'm in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Have y'all ever come through here before?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah. We played the Firehouse once.
Yeah.
And then we played, I guess it's only been once. We played really three times. So it was the Firehouse. And then we played that venue that's escaping me. It's like a bigger venue, but they have like a coffee shop in the middle of it.
Saturn.
What it is. I always forget what the name is.
Yeah.
There's a coffee shop here that's called Satellite, and I always think it's called the same thing. And I'm like, oh wait, no, it's not Satellite. That's the coffee shop here.
That's cool.
And then we actually, the last time we were there was right before pandemic. And we played our friend Callis House, who has now since passed away, actually. Wow. So it's really pretty sad. I think there's a big like memorial show for Calla like this weekend in Birmingham, I think. With like a bunch of bands. She was in that band Bad Example.
Okay.
Do you know the like hardcore band?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, they were really, I mean, they were great person. So it's just, it's sad, but we had a lot of friends there, and everyone always treated us really nice every time we came to Birmingham.
Cool. Yeah. There's a lot going on here musically for sure. Especially for Alabama.
Definitely.
You know, punk and hardcore shows. I went to a show last Monday, and it was a hardcore show, and I was like, there's no need for me to get like a pre-sale. This is just a local hardcore show. But it was like, it was at the Firehouse, and it was like sold out. Like, they were turning people away. I was like, well, fuck.
Oh, wow. Cool. What show was it?
I forgot the name. There was one touring band. But my buddy Jesse has a new band called Wielded Steel. That's pretty cool.
Sick.
So I went to check them out. And also, Sonny from Hate 5-6 flew down and was filming it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so is your daytime job a tattooer?
Oh, no. I started tattooing about 2 years ago during the pandemic. I actually like needed just something to do.
Yeah.
And I had never really thought about it. I had a lot of friends that do it, and was obviously interested in it, but I just like hadn't really considered it and never really had the money before. Yeah. And then I kind of hit like a few months into the pandemic, I was like, oh, I really need like something that's going to keep me occupied for like a long time and like something I can do. And I kind of like was, I was getting like steady unemployment and I had just gotten my stimulus and I was like, I think that I could like get all the equipment and I could like start learning how to tattoo.
Yeah.
And I like just bought like a crappy machine off of eBay, like a kit that was basically like, it was like everything you need for like one tattoo. And it was like a total piece of garbage. And then slowly just kind of like, I started tattooing oranges and like drawing a bunch. And I always drew, like I do all the Dark Thoughts artwork and I do like t-shirts for bands and like different stuff like that. And it was kind of like this thing that like, once I started looking into Tattoo Flash and stuff, it like just clicked in my brain where I was like, oh, like this is something I really like. Like this is something I do. So I've been on a little hiatus from tattooing since like March.
Yeah.
Mainly because my other main job is I work at a music venue called Union Transfer. That's like a indie venue. Like Supertrunk played there last weekend, like that type of place. I work in the box office there. And then Amy from Dark Thoughts and I, she runs this bar called Photo Club. That is like a basically kind of like a rocker bar that does shows, and I handle all the events and shows. So, so we all, it's all like, we basically, she took it over like a little over 2 years ago. And like the sort of the actual owner of the building is like kind of complicated and a little crappy, but she pushed him out of the business. And basically she runs everything and took it over and it's all of our friends working there. So it's like all punk people that like tour and do different stuff, that we like hired to do the door, like, Daniel from Dark Thoughts, the drummer, he's like the head bartender. I'm booking like a big festival there this week called Something to Talk About.
Yeah.
It's actually on, it's on Thursday. So, okay. So when it's a disaster after this is aired, there can be evidence of it right beforehand.
Right. Yeah. This is going to come out next Monday. So
It'll be great.
Something to talk about. It's already happened and went great.
When it's in the news, my reputation is destroyed. this festival. I think it's going to be fun. I kind of made like a wish list of bands like 6 months ago where I was like, I think I could do this. And then. Yeah. We just have the ability to do whatever we want kind of at this bar. So that's kind of been taking up most of our time.
Okay.
That's actually where Amy was when she was trying to get the headphones for me. She was held up there doing stuff. So that's like what I mainly do. Tattooing, I'm going to like pick back up probably midsummer after we move into a new house. Going to like reorganize the studio situation and like start doing it like on a daytime basis, like when I can.
Okay.
But I really love it. I actually like really miss it. And I've been getting tattooed more and I've been like doing more research and stuff, but I haven't been able to like physically like set up appointments because I haven't had like days off, which is like crazy.
So is the whole, Something to Talk About, is it all at the Photo Club?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay. It's the main shows are gonna be outside. We have like a big outside area, like in a backyard, and then there's two after shows that are gonna be indoors, like upstairs, that can go till like 2 a.m. basically. So it's pretty cool. It's a fun, weird experiment. We've been kind of like,
is this the first one?
Our nose to the grindstone, but it's cool. You know, I worked like a six band like beat down hardcore show yesterday and they were happy and bands got fed and you know they got some gas money and they went on their way, you know. And it's like, it's weird to like be running a venue, but like we've been trying to do it kind of like with the approach of like a big DIY venue but with like a proper bar and a proper sound system and stuff like that.
For sure.
So the deal's cheap for bands and we like try not to rip people off, you know?
Yeah. A good combination of, dealing with bands, the DIY way, but also having like more pro, like you're saying, like audio and a bar and
yeah, exactly. Functional. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you're a touring band, you'd be stoked to be there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. 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 I'm sure, you know, with as much touring as you've done probably throughout your life, you've seen the worst of like the worst and best of DIY spots.
We played, I have a really nice memory of that. Actually, the last time we played in Birmingham of, that show that Calla did for us. She didn't have a mic stand, which like we're a three piece. I think she taped the mic to the post of like a lamp. Like they took the light bulb out and they like, yeah. And they just taped the mic to it. And I was like, something I hadn't seen before, you know.
Hell yeah, man. Y'all turn into a industrial band that night.
Yeah, yeah, very seriously. Yeah.
You're like, man, I've been on like, I don't know if you're into this or not. Stop me if you aren't. But I've been on like a Rammstein kick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say that I'm like into it, you know.
But, no. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I'm sure it's like, I don't know German. I'm sure the lyrics are like very cheesy if to like yeah. German people. But you guys have a very like, I watched a bunch of live videos. You guys have very like cool, stripped down, like straightforward punk Ramones core thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have y'all ever thought about adding big shooting fire stacks to y'all's live performance is what I'm getting at.
No, I don't think we have the, I mean, we're too broke. We don't have any money.
But if you had the money.
Yeah. I don't think we need it. I don't know. Everything that we do is just ripping off like the Ramones constantly. So right. We're just like I feel like any addition that we'd have would probably cut into like something that the Ramones did in like 1983 or something, mm-hmm. you know, which is, but most of their stuff was just like lighting rigs that like Arturo Vega did. So
yeah.
Like, they didn't really ever have fun. It was like lighting rigs and fog. And yeah. they were all broke. So they didn't have right. any money. They were like back in corners.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think we'd ever need, I feel like it would be cheesy. You know, I think, you know, I'd go as far as to say it might be a little bit weird.
shit.
You know, some of the places we're playing too, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be like a great white situation.
Oh, yeah. You don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't have that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
The time Dark Thoughts burnt down the photo club. Yeah.
There's a band from here that's called Zorn. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No.
It's like they're like a metal punk band and they're very like, it's like, they're very, it's like a shtick, but they're like very committed to it. And they like have dress and costumes and the singer comes out in a coffin. They have like five or six of their friends dress in like robes and they'll like, they have like road flares. okay. It's great. Like there's some really cool shows. There was one they did in an outdoor show where they like lit the coffin on fire and it was like this huge bonfire, like in the middle of like in this, like at this like illegal skate park show. It was like very crazy. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. They played the bar a couple of times and I've had to be like, okay, what are you guys bringing now? Like what?
Yeah.
What do we have to clean up? You know, it's like pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a big fan of pro wrestling. So I think it all like, it all ties back to pro wrestling of being like, I don't know, how ridiculous can we be in a cool way?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love some wrestling theatrics like that. That shit rules, you know, but yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I feel like my favorite like wrestling type stuff has always been more just like character based. Like when I was a kid, I was like a huge Mankind fan.
Oh yeah.
Course. Like that whole like the transition of like his three characters and stuff and like how committed he was, just so cool. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, like Andre the Giant, just like a big guy, you know. It's like or like the Sheik, like Iron Sheik is like just like his character is like being like the most perfect heel, you know. It's just like, it's really like he didn't need a lot of theatrics so much as like his persona was like larger than life, which I think is like really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a. Have you read On the Road with the Ramones? That like.
The Monty
Melnick book. Yeah,
dude, insane. I could like write a fucking testimonial for that book. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's like, honestly, I think it's my favorite book about the Ramones that I've like, that I have read thus far. I feel like it's like the most like honest one, and it's really like, it gets everyone's perspective in it. So it really like sheds light on situations that are like, just like different things where, cause there's so much of like that Ramones history that's just like made up, or it's just like, someone said something. It was like the thing that he talks about, like in Dee Dee's biography, there's a bunch of stuff that he just like fabricated that's just like actually untrue.
Right.
That multiple people are like, yeah, that never happened. Like he just wrote it because it would look cooler.
Sensational.
If he did. Yeah. Yeah. It's like sensational, which is really cool. There's like a, do you know that Punk Planet interviews book? Have you ever seen that before? Mm hmm. It's like it was like a zine that did like a collected interviews, like big paperback book. And there's an interview in there with Black Flag that's similar to that, where it's like every single person's perspective. Like they ask them the same question, and they ask every member the same question. They all have different answers.
Yeah.
Like every person like refutes the history is different depending upon which person you talk to.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was really good. That's kind of what the Monty Melnick book, like a whole book of that reminded me, where it was like Johnny's perspective is going to be way different than Dee Dee's or Joey's like the Moody's perspective or something, which was like really sick, I think. And there's a lot of really good, just like cool pictures of like all the like stage plots and like passes and like things that he would make for them and stuff. Yeah. I always thought
that. Yeah, and they've got the list of all their shows. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, I don't know, talking about pro wrestling, like each Ramon reminds me of like a pro wrestler. like and they're like infighting reminds me of like,
oh yeah, yeah. We're totally like every different personality, right? Yeah. And it's like Johnny's the heel, like Joey's obviously like the like he's the hero,
you know,
but also has his own faults. And then like Dee Dee's just like a really great flavor character. And then what you have like a rotating cast of like ridiculous drummers, like that are all characters in their own right, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you watched the, like the Stern Show, videos of like,
The arguments?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both in a pretty bad way.
Oh, yeah.
On those things. Yeah. I've only watched it. Like, I know that they were both like heavy, like alcoholics. And I know Joey, like from reading a lot of that stuff too. I mean, depending upon what year that was, that's like a crazy thing that I like don't think about with like, I like started to think about with later Ramon stuff is like how there's a thing in that Monty Melnick book about Joey's solo record and a bunch of the like the subject matter.
Yeah.
And a lot of that record's about him having cancer, not being able to talk to anybody about it. And it kind of blew my mind because I didn't think about it, where it was just like, oh my God, like he knows he's gonna die.
Yeah.
And he knew for like years that he was just slowly dying and couldn't really talk to anyone about it or do anything about it. And so he just like kind of went nuts and became an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Or like his alcoholism was an alcoholic and got worse, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of that, the Stern Show stuff is like when they're post being a band.
Yeah.
And he already knows he has health problems and they already like, there was like a big, I think there was supposed to be like a South American tour or something they were supposed to do. And they dropped off, like Joey dropped off because he couldn't physically do it because he was so sick.
Yeah.
But he couldn't tell them that. So then there was a big fight about it. So then they all resented him for not doing it because it would have made a lot of money. But like in the end, it's like he probably would have, you know, he wouldn't have physically been able to do it. And it's like a whole thing. So
Yeah.
I just always thought that like that the like some of the subject matter on that solo record is like really it's like really like when you listen to it, you're like, why is he talking about like Mr. Punchy and like what's all this stuff? And then it's like, it's all this like jokey stuff that's actually about him like dealing with dying, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's, I think the Ramones are like, it's crazy how, like you're saying, the lyrical content, it can go from like silly to like super serious, like,
yeah, like so quickly. Yeah. Or it like, or it's like the silliness is actually masking something that's really, really serious. Right. But it's like
super dark.
It's like, yeah, but it's actually like really dark. Like We're a Happy Family is all about them just like being on drugs and like living in fucking squalor and like being poor and stuff. But it's like, you know, when you listen, it's like We're a Happy Family, where, you know, it's like just the beat of it, which is really interesting. It always has been. I think that's why it resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, deeper, way deeper band than most people give them credit, I think. As I sit here with like a Ramones shirt on, like nerding out about Joey's solo record. But
Have you, so growing up, have you always been in like Ramones core type punk bands or like?
I don't know, actually. It was kind of like, I was in just like a street punk band when I was in high school. You know, with some ska influences, as was the style at the time. And and then I kind of played around in like other people's like basically street punk bands until I was probably like 16 or 17. And then those bands kind of faded away when I went to college. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mostly kind of was in like mainly like, the first like real band I was in like 2009 that like toured, I guess real is like went on a tour and like put out a tape and like an active punk band, where it was just mainly just like hardcore bands. And then I think like I've never like really, I don't know, the like whole, the whole like Ramones core thing as it, in itself was never really like, I never wanted to be in a band that like sounded like Screeching Weasel or anything.
Right.
Like not as a diss or whatever, but I just, it wasn't really like, I liked the Riverdales when I was a kid and I liked the Manges and like, and I liked bands like that, but I didn't really like, I guess I got more into hardcore as I became like kind of like 19, 20. And I just like really went with just like getting into like hardcore and faster music. And then there was just like a slow return to it. Like, as I got like around like 21 or something, where I would just always revisit the Ramones and I would always like just like kind of come back to it. And I was like, oh, I really love this band. This really is my favorite band. And so that kind of just stuck with me. And then I played in a couple different bands like over the years. And then it took like Amy and I had been friends for a long time preceding Dark Thoughts. And we just kind of like had a mutual love of the Ramones that just like we didn't realize until we became better friends.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of like, when are we going to start a band that kind of sounds like this, you know? And, and it's like, so we started talking about it. And then by coincidence, Amy had played in a short-lived band with Daniel, who was living in Florida. Mm-hmm. And he was moving to Philadelphia like that month or something. Okay. That was like when, so basically I got introduced to Daniel maybe once before we practiced, and then we went and had a practice, and then the moment we started playing together, it was kind of like, yep, this is it, like this is what we're doing. And I had like five songs written, and basically just brought, like we had a full band practice like a week later, and then it was, that was like basically us doing the demo or whatever. So and then it's like 9 years later. So
damn. Yeah. I had heard of y'all by like just friends talking about y'all. And then I would look up Dark Thoughts and I wouldn't find like any internet like footprint. Was that was that a thing earlier on?
I don't know. We never like intentionally did it. We have a band camp. I mean, we've always just like put out records and toured, and like that other stuff is kind of like, We technically have like an Instagram, but it's really just, it's just Amy's Instagram. Yeah. But like, yeah, I don't know. We always just kind of like, stuck around of just like doing our own thing. So we never really like, I don't really know what we need a website for because we're kind of doing fine, you know? Like,
yeah.
The Bandcamp, it's like the Bandcamp has my email on it. You know, it's not hard to get a hold of us. And then we have like a, we have a Big Cartel to sell t-shirts, you know, product placement.
Shout out. But, yeah.
But like, that's pretty much, I don't know. I feel like that's all we really need. We could get a little bit better at, I guess, like putting it out there, but, it's been a weird thing. Like we don't have any, we, our first record's like on Spotify, but we didn't put it on there. It's like a funny thing. Like we did a tape through, our friends who do, Get Better Records. And they put it on there as like part of their releases. But we hadn't ever thought about it. And then we were kind of like, maybe we should, it's just like such a pain. Cause it's like everything else is on there for free. Like you can hear it for free and we don't really make money off of it either way. So it's like, the best way to do it is just like buy a record or buy a shirt or whatever.
Right.
But it does get, I guess like some of that exposure stuff is weird. Cause I definitely like noticed over the pandemic that a lot of people like heard us more because they were just like chilling and listening to like Spotify or whatever. And then they heard the first record. And we've noticed like, since we've come back that there are people that like, have been like, oh, I heard you on Spotify or whatever, but they like they have no idea that we have like three records.
You know? Yeah, two like, more records. Yeah.
And it's like we've been a band for like 10 years. Like, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. So we might do that, but I don't think we're gonna like we don't really have a need to like make any of that other stuff because we're kind of doing fine. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
It'll just be where it's like the fire. It's the fire theme stuff, right? Like we don't need to make a crazy music video. Like what's that for? Like it just goes on the internet.
Yeah.
It would look cool, but like, what does it do? You know, it's
yeah.
like, this is like, especially if it costs money, it's like, we don't have any money. You know? Right.
Oh shit. Yeah. It's a, yeah. And like, I don't know, for me at least doing like, social media stuff, it's hard for me not to feel like a tool sometimes doing some stuff on there. You know,
oh, absolutely.
It's yeah. It's a fine line of, I don't know, just not completely selling your soul, but also trying to get people interested in stuff. You know, I don't know.
Dude, totally. And it's like, you know, I mean, I didn't have an Instagram for years. And then during the pandemic, I basically like hit this point where I wasn't talking to anyone for months, you know, and I was like, I need to fucking interact with someone.
Yeah.
So I like, and then the tattooing actually was like an easy soft to like go back into that or whatever. It was like, well, I do need this to like do the tattooing. Like I can't, I feel like I, as stupid as it sounds, it's like, you can't really do that and not have an Instagram
because
that's how people access the things that you do these days. So it's just like kind of how it is. Yeah. So it's like, how do you find a balance with like, not making yourself feel like shit for being on this like shitty platform that just exploits all of our interests and like turns it into money. And like, and it's just like, and then also like, I don't know, it's like I've reconnected with people from Europe that I haven't seen in since I have been there, or like, you know, I can talk to my friends in like the UK, or like there's another podcast person that like reached out to me that like we had to reschedule. This person is like from Taiwan who like wanted to talk, and I was like, cool, yeah, like let's talk. Like,
that's fucking cool.
I'm astounded that you even know who I am. Like, I don't know how you found us, but like, cool, you know, like, like that's sick. Like, that is really special, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that is like a real, like, that's real, that is like real connection. And it's just like, it's tough because, you know, you have to do it via this platform of fucking actual garbage, you know.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. Yeah, it's something that's bigger than the two of us. I don't think we're gonna figure it out tonight.
I don't think so.
Maybe if you gave us another hour or so, but you know.
Where did somebody Taiwan?
Oh yeah, there was a another person, I forget the name of what it was called, that was based in Taiwan, that was gonna, we were supposed to talk tomorrow morning. And they had to reschedule, so we're hopefully going to do it next week, which is cool.
Shit. What, yeah. Is that the... Have people reached out from other countries or you've been like, oh, this is insane?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's this person who... Actually, I owe them a package. I got to find it. But there's a person from... I'm like blanking. One sec. Where... Can you still see me?
No, but that's okay.
My bad. One sec. I gotta find this dude's. One sec. I just left. I'm gone.
That's okay.
No.
Dead air.
I'm just trying to find this. Sorry, I'm trying to find this person's address. Yeah. But he's from Singapore. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he orders like every shirt. It's really cool.
Hell yeah.
I actually owe him like a. He hit me up recently and I was like, dude, I'll just send you a shirt for free. It's fine. Like, it's cool. Like, he's literally like, every time we put up a shirt, he's like, I need to order one. He's like,
it, bro.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's sick. I don't know how, but it's pretty awesome. It feels good. I don't know. Like, we do a lot of mail order and even just like some person in like random, like Colorado is like ordering like a record or whatever. And I'm like, shit, like, this is cool. Like, Yeah.
One of the few good things of the internet, I guess.
Yeah, some of those things, like that stuff is cool, you know, like making that connection is really cool. I think like, I don't know, I play in this other like newer hardcore band called Delco Motherfuckers.
Right.
That's like, I did it as a pandemic project and I like put out the 7-inch myself. And it's the first like record I've actually ever pressed myself. And just like thinking about like how much it's kind of crazy how like people talk a lot about how it's like, it's sometimes it's harder to do like stuff on your own these days. But I feel like honestly, like if you're doing it the right way and trying to keep like costs down and stuff, like, right now is like it's easier than ever to like promote and put out a record. Like you can just like you have this like instant network of people that like already are into the same things you're into because you've curated it yourself, right? Yeah. And then like you can just be like, I did this thing, here it is, you know. Like if enough people see it, then like you can just like make that stuff back. And obviously like I'm speaking from a place of privilege, especially like from having like toured for like a long time and like just made connections with people and stuff. Yeah. But like, I think it's just like, it's an interesting thing. And I've been more now that I'm like going through the ropes of doing it. I'm like, oh man, everyone should do this. Like, of course everyone should put out their own stuff. Like, it's just like, I think it just like, if you're going to put in the work, then like, why not like make it your own? And like, why not, just like, I don't know. I'm kind of like spiraling now, but
just go a couple more steps. Yeah.
I've been folding covers all day and I'm just like, oh yeah. Like this is, you know, I made this thing. I touched every single one of these things and I like someone is going to have it and then it's theirs, you know? Yeah. And it's just feels really good. And even like doing that with Dark Dot stuff, it's like that stuff feels cool. And it's like nice to make that connection with people, even if it's a small thing. Yeah, I've just been, I feel like since the pandemic, we're like in a weird spot where we're trying to like get used to touring again and get used to like doing the things we used to do. And we've been kind of like a strange situation with like how much involvement do we need other people to like help us do stuff? And like how much do we just like still do this on our own? And the more and more that I'm like focusing in on it, I'm like, oh, this is the time. Like we should just be doing everything. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, so I've just been thinking a lot more about it. And especially with like with the way that things are structured via the internet now, it's like you can, like, I don't know, like that the fest is like a good, I made a wish list and I had a decent amount of phone numbers, and then like a lot of people that were strangers, I just found them on Instagram. Damn. And I was like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I have this set up and it's organized. Do you want to do it? And then the response was like pretty overwhelmingly positive, you know, and that's a cool thing. And it's like, I don't know. I think it's no wonder that more of that stuff is happening now. Like, cause it seems like everyone's kind of like almost making a joke about how there's like so many fests happening. There's like so many things happening, but also it's like, yeah, why the fuck not? Like, nobody could do this for like 2 years, you know, like, hell yes, let's go, you know, like, let's do it. Like, I think it's sick. Like, I guess another thing, I'm also biased because, you know, I want you to go to the fest that I'm doing, but you know, I don't know. I think it's awesome.
Is something to talk about? Did you get that from the song? Let's give him something to talk about.
The Bonnie Raitt song?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, Bonnie Raitt is actually playing night before in Philly.
Oh, shit.
Because it's on, so the fest is around my birthday.
Yeah.
My birthday's on Wednesday. And then I was like, well, I'll do it around my birthday weekend. I'll like, it'll be like a fun thing. And then I was trying to think of a name, and someone, one of my friends joked about it and was like, yo, Bonnie's playing like the night before. You should just call it like something to talk about. And I was like, fuck it. That's pretty good. That's a decent name. So we just went for it.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, it might be worth reaching out to Bonnie Raitt's people. I don't know. Bonnie
at hop on. You've probably got a day off the next day, right?
Yeah, man. Bonnie at BonnieRaitt.com. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure she has an Instagram I could just hit up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, you know, like you're saying, it's cool. It's, I'm excited that people want to come on this thing and talk. Like, I just cold messaged you and was like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally. Same thing. Like, just like, this is the thing, right? This is like how we connect in this world. Is this like, I think there's like some downside to like people talk about that, where it's like, it used to be, you know, a lot more like zine interviews and printed interviews. And this is just like how people within like our specific subculture are connecting with each other, and like how like someone can like easily tune into this and like listen to the dumb bullshit I'm talking about, you know, and like, or not, or be like, this guy's an idiot, you know, and that's it. Well, I think that's fucking cool, right? Like, it's just like, I don't know. Punk is pretty sick right now. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's a cool time. Yeah.
It's a cool time. It's a weird time, but I think it's also like really, it's really cool because there's kind of like a leveling of the playing field happening, where like there was a lot of like preconceived stuff, and then like the pandemic kind of leveled a lot of that and has made it so that it's like, there's just like a lot of wild shit happening now. So,
damn.
But yeah.
Yeah. The Dark Thoughts, they, y'all have a tour coming up, right? Or are you?
We just finished the tour, actually.
Okay.
We got home about 2 weeks ago we did a 2 week tour with Generation Suicida.
Okay.
And it was really fun. They're great. We had a great time with them. And then, we don't really have much coming up. We're going to play like one or two shows over the summer. And then we're talking about doing some stuff in the fall and potentially a West Coast tour in the winter if we can get it together. But yeah. We've actually never been to the West Coast, which is kind of insane. So we're just trying to make it happen. So yeah, that's kind of all that we got going on. We did a bunch between February and May.
Yeah.
And so we kind of like, after this last thing, we were kind of like, all right, let's like, we're going to take a break. I don't know if we'll work on this, but I have like a new record pretty much written. And if we can get some free time to actually work on it, then we'll start working on a new record, and just same old thing, you know?
Yeah. Are you always thinking about like writing songs? Are you always in a songwriting process?
I guess not like always, but I've kind of been, I had this realization like a couple years ago that I was like writing, I wrote everything for like all the, like those like first punk bands that I was in.
Yeah.
Or a majority of some of those bands. Like I would write a lot. I would write songs pretty often. And so it's just something that I did for years. So I kind of like, and I guess I wouldn't say it's something that I like come home and do every single day, but it's something that's like on my mind, or I get ideas and I'll write them down and do different things like that. And I kind of like, I'm good at like coming up with ideas kind of quick, but then I'll like sit and refine them for a long time. So like, I feel like I came up with like 12 songs like over a year ago, and then yeah. I'll sit and replay them and replay them and replay them and like just like change them up a little bit, or like maybe if it's this chord or whatever, or like change the key, or maybe if a new lyric idea comes up or something like that, I'll like work on that. But that's like kind of where I'm at with that. It's also like fun. I feel like I'll, if I get a break sometimes around the house, I'll just like play guitar and just play through stuff that I've written.
Yeah.
Like in my own in a room. And it's just like fun for me for like an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm going to play like what I think the record is and just play it all the way through. And that is like a helpful way to do it too. Cause then I come up with ideas or like kind of like get to the point where I'm like, oh, this isn't that fun to play. Like, why isn't it fun? You know what I mean? And then I'll like, that's that. I mean, it's like a, you know, it's like, oh, why isn't this that fun or whatever? And it's like, yeah. Oh, cause this, I should change this part. So it's more fun, you know, yeah. Like stuff like that.
Mm. That's cool.
Yeah.
So for Delco motherfuckers, do you do all, did you record like all the parts? Cause I listened to the EP earlier today to get.
Oh yeah. 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 I wrote and recorded everything actually. So I like, I got like gifted a 4-track from Daniel from Dark Thoughts. And, I was just like, oh, maybe I can just like direct in these like guitar parts and just like kind of try and figure it out. And then I just, one thing led to another, and I was like, oh, I'll do the bass. I'll do the drums. And then I just like, I had like the songs kind of revised after like that same type of thing. I'd like play them over and over again. I was like, oh, these are good to go. And I like had like, I think like kind of the last of my like unemployment money, or like I had just like saved up a little bit, and I was like, oh, I have enough to like, have you ever had this idea where like, especially if you're like, I got this idea for this band. I got 5 songs and I'm like ready to go. Like it's in my head already. I can see it, but I like haven't, I just need to like get it together or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was like one of those projects where I was like, I can already see this. I'm just going to like make it. And then I was like, I'm actually going to press this record. I'm just going to do it. And I like found a place and I pressed it, and I was like, all right. And I like sent it away. And then actually like a few weeks after that, I had sent Pat, who now plays guitar in Delco Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
She mastered the recordings, and had hit me back and was like, hey, like if you need a guitar player for this, like I would love to play guitar in this. So I was like, oh. And then Daniel already knew about it, cause I'd been talking about it, and he was like, oh, I'll play drums. And then, the bass player, is my friend Jakey. And, he's played in like a couple, like, different punk bands, but hadn't played in like a while. And he just kind of like heard wind of it. We were at a show and I mentioned it to him, and he was like, oh, I haven't played bass in forever. I'd love to. So that's kind of how it sorted out. And then now it's just like, an excuse to like goof off and like hang out with my friends, you know?
That's cool.
I taught them everything. And then that band has like another, like probably like a 45 LP, like enough music for like a 12 inch that we're going to eventually do maybe next year, or in the coming months, depending upon like when we can get it done. But that's been kind of fun. Cause it's just like it's just fun. It's just like a fun hardcore band. And it's just like exciting to just sing in a band and like not really have as much responsibility so much. It's just like, we can go and just play a show and have a good time.
You know? Is this y'all's first show at something to talk about?
No, we played like 5 or 6 shows.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like 4 or 5, I guess. We played last week with with Absolute and Destruct, and that was really fun. We've played a couple other ones. One of our first show was right after I announced the fest, and it was a benefit show for the fest.
Okay,
that was like all locals, and it was like all new bands. So it was everybody's first show.
Okay,
yeah. So that was our first show, and then we played a couple since then. So
that's sick. That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to hear the full length at some point.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. We've been talking. That's like another thing we've been talking about recording it, but especially like a new band, it's like, do you keep up the momentum and like
it's do tough.
It like right afterwards or whatever? Yeah. And like, will it fizzle out? Who knows? You know, yeah. We might break up. Who knows?
Oh, man. You know, the better to burn out than fade away or whatever.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. the biggest stars. Burn the bright. I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the cheese. You know, when you saw what instead of footprints in the sand.
Yeah. That was when the Dalco motherfuckers carried you.
So. Right. Exactly.
That might actually be. That's a good T-shirt idea.
You can have it. That's a gift. That's a gift to you, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, I think we're getting close to wrapping up. We're close to an hour here.
Cool.
Do you have any parting words or anything you want to say? I'm gonna plug all your stuff at the beginning. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This has been cool. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Like, it's very nice to talk to you. I'm sorry that it took me forever to get my day sorted out so I could talk good. With you. But yeah.
Well, stay on for a minute, Jim. But you had options, but you decided to talk to me, and I appreciate it.